The Bang Radio Hour is proud to be part of the Belly Up Sports Network. Be bold, stand out.
Howdy, friends, and welcome to another episode of the Super Awesome Dallas Cowboys. It's the greatest team in the whole goddamn world, and they's going to the Super Bowl podcast. Here's your hosts, Skeeter and Duane Millett.
Hey, everybody, this here is Skeeter Millett.
And this here, Duane Millett.
And this here is the Dallas Cowboys.
It's the most awesome damn team in the whole world, and they's going podcast. Straight to the Super Bowl, baby, podcast.
Goddamn, Duane, you sure done fucked up the opening real good now, there.
Me? What you mean,
well,
me?
The damn show's called the Dallas Cowboys is the best goddamn team on the whole damn world podcast.
You best get and on you out done of here, Skeeter. You don't know what you're talking what. About. You forgot again.
Look,
we changed it to the Dallas
here.
Cowboys is the most awesomest damn team in the world, and then we go straight to the Super Bowl, baby, podcast. And you done forgot.
You're
always laying around in the back of your pickup truck drinking full of beer all damn day.
You
can get a job.
Ain't nobody got time for all that.
Okay, stand by.
Hey.
Bang Radio.
What?
The New York Giants select Daniel Jones.
Oh.
Quarterback.
Okay.
Duke.
How did that happen?
Why? Why?
Why? Why?
We got Odell! We got Odell!
Odell can't get no ball.
Ball God.
I don't like Tom Brady because he thinks he's good. He ain't.
But some of these people, I've never met him, never talked to him.
Derek, why'd you take your pants off?
My balls was hot. I understand.
At the end of the day, you're all going to die.
No.
And now, John.
I hate him.
And Tom.
I drink and I know things.
On the Bang Radio Hour.
They're becoming something.
It's on Trubisky looking. He's going to be hit. And he's sacked. He is sacked on the play. And there's the final dagger into the Chicago Bears.
Newton set up in the shotgun, ready to go again. Snap back from the 36. He throws. It's intercepted. Corey Littleton down the left sideline. Littleton started the game with a forced fumble and a recovery. Now he's got an interception.
Hand off to Eckler. Up the field. Eckler into the end zone. Touchdown. Chargers win. His third touchdown of the afternoon.
Play fake, Dalton.
Big bad
ball
boy.
Ball slips out of his hands. It's intercepted. Yanked out of the air by Al Woods. And the Seahawks have it back. Thank you, Mr. Al Woods.
Daniel Jones will make his Giants debut. Played brilliant in the preseason.
First down, play fake. Boot to the right. Witten's open. At the five, at the three. Touchdown for the goal.
Mahomes out of the shotgun. Wants to throw. Fires near side. Caught. Touchdown, Kansas City, and Sammy Watkins with the catch as Jalen Ramsey gets burned.
Stafford in shotgun has the football, drops back to pass, steps up and just throws it deep, and that's the game. The Cardinals and Lions finish in a 27-27 tie.
Rides up the middle, into the end zone, touchdown, Dalvin Cook. Blowing out the Atlanta Falcons.
Winston out of the shotgun. Empty center. Comes a blitz by Greenlaw and a quick throw. Intercepted by Richard Sherman going back the other way. Richard Sherman. Touchdown! San Francisco!
And I love it again!
RG3 takes a knee and that is going to do it.
RG3!
A record-setting week for Lamar Jackson.
five touchdown
passes. A perfect quarterback rating.
Mayfield looks and throws and that is picked off. Mayfield has thrown two picks in successive Browns possessions. And that is going to send a lot of the folks to the parking lot, which I thought the days of that were over.
No, Cleveland, they're very much alive.
Hey, sorry, we ordered all this material to make all this sadness. We got to use it up before we can do something else. The factory can't shut down.
You are a factory of sadness!
Wow.
You know what? I just want one time that we can hear Daniel Jones calling signal and he goes, G-Paw.
Right. Well, there were some very notable plays from the weekend. Wow. The first,
you know what?
The first hour of Sunday, everything that happened from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday was unbelievable. It started off, you know, just like crazy shit, man. Unbelievable first hour of football this year.
As a Redskins fan, let me just say that was probably my favorite hour of football so far this year because it was the only one that was worth watching for me.
Let's see. The audio ended, what was it, 22 seconds ago, and Bang brought up the Redskins.
Well, of course I did. They are the most dangerous team, the most dangerous 0-1 team in the NFL, Tom. They are the best 0-1 team in the league.
Is that right?
That's right.
I might have to argue.
They are dangerous.
Oh, my God. They're also geistless.
They are geistless, but yeah. I think that that is probably not good news for your Cowboys this week. However, I will go ahead and say this right out here, right out in the open. Right now, I think your Cowboys are going to blow us out this weekend.
Stop that. Don't you try
I'm
that.
Not
I know
that.
What you're trying to do. All right, hold on. All right. I'm Tom, and if you're new to the show, I'm a Cowboys fan. That's John, and he is a Redskins fan, so it's Dallas Washington week, and he's trying to make Dallas take him easy. That's what it is. He's trying to get Dallas come in there overconfident, just thinking, they don't even have to play. Kind of like the Browns this past Sunday did. But that's coming up later.
Right. Well, we know Dak is listening right now, so that's why I say these things can affect how the Cowboys are going to play. Dude, they're going to wipe up the floor with the Redskins.
Let's hope so, man. I'm with you all the way on that. All right. This is Bang Radio Hour number 357. Coming up, the Miami mess, the AB saga. Of course, we have to discuss that, but only the best parts of it. The Raiders rolled anyway. Will Big Ben retire and win? And they are who we thought they were. Ha ha. And he makes how much? All that and more. It was a great opening week. Well,
yeah, it was.
Depending on how you look at it. I mean, as a football fan, it was a great opening week. I don't care who you cheer for. It's fucking amazing.
Well, except for the Packers and Bears. Jesus Christ, you two. Could you get the fourth preseason game under your belt before you get on the national television?
You got to be kidding me. There was some amazing defense going on. They were hitting so damn hard in that game, dude. Come on. Don't do that.
All right, I'll give you that. The defensive lines did dominate that
game. Oh, my God. Do you know what Chicago's going to do to Denver on Sunday? Holy crap.
I know. Denver. Ooh. Who did I hear? Scott Van Pelt picked them to go into the playoffs and possibly to the Super Bowl. That's crazy. I don't see that at all. Flacco doesn't impress me.
Denver?
Yeah, Denver.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's like he's not getting enough air way up there in his little tiny head that's, 6'9" off the ground.
All right. Well, hey, look, you brought up the Bears and Packers, and that kicked off the season, and they gave us one of the most memorable moments of the week. Because then I'm sure a lot of people have seen this. We're going to slow it down for you too. this is so great. Cause they, the microphone picked up, a couple linemen, Packers linemen on the sideline. And they were discussing things that happened to you in a game. If you're a lineman, the things that linemen deal with, it's like with things that linemen deal with. Things they deal with in a game, dirty stuff that happens under the pile. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But you know what? What they're getting ready to talk about, I think mostly the running backs have to deal with that quite a bit.
Somebody get finger bit off or whatever, and somebody might get a finger somewhere else. I've never had my butthole fingered. That's what he said.
I don't know that he's talking about being under the pile. I mean, who knows what they do in these locker rooms? I'm not going to ask. They are the Packers, after all.
I've never had myself figured. My
6-yard line.
I love the way Al starts to chuckle. He can't help it.
6-yard line.
Imagine if he played for the Dolphins. He would definitely know what Lamar Jackson's whole fist felt like.
Right, we'll get to that.
I've never had my gun figured.
Six yard line.
It's like gay EVP. You ever heard of not EDP, EVP. It's supposedly these people that set up tape recorders in haunted houses and catch these spirits from the dead that are talking in the background. That's what it sounds like.
Oh, yeah, right.
They caught it in a gay bar.
Oh, that's great. So that's how the season began right there, with a guy letting us know he never had his finger or his butthole fingered. So,
Well, at least we know he's a virgin. That's good. The Packers have some clean, wholesome boys.
All right, let's see here. Let's talk about the Dolphins for a moment, because On the last show, and because you brought that up, you know, the Ravens and wow. Last show, we talked about Kenny Stills. He was upset because the Miami Dolphins owner, Stephen Ross, put on a fundraiser for President Trump.
Right.
You know, and he didn't like that, and he also didn't like Jay-Z's partnership now with the NFL.
No, you know what? I'm just tired of politics infringing on the things that I use to ignore politics.
Well, and I think Kenny Stills probably agrees with you. He's like, why are you bringing all this crap into our league? We're just playing football here, you know?
Right.
Well here's...
After Kaepernick started his thing, he did some real nice outreach things with Miami police and the community
yes.
and things like that. So he was involved.
Yep.
But I'm just, I agree with what we had on the podcast last time, what Jay-Z said. Let's get to the next phase. This part of it's done. You know, I'm tired of the infringing upon my football. And I know that sounds goddamn selfish, but motherfuckers, I work all week and I pay attention to your important shit all goddamn week. On Sunday, I want to watch some fucking football, and I don't feel like hearing about it.
Well, right. In response to this, though, to Kenny Stills, you know, saying that stuff that we had on the last show, well, Brian Flores, head coach of the Dolphins, I don't know how to describe it other than to say he decided to punish Kenny Stills.
Okay. Well, did he take his fucking dessert away?
No. During training camp practice, he played Jay-Z songs over and over and over, real loud.
There's fucking 90 other guys out there. You think maybe one of them might like Jay-Z?
And he called, no. He said he did this specifically, called it a challenge to Stills to improve his performance, to get open, catch the football, and make plays for this team regardless of what's going on outside of this building.
That's a very good point, and that's a very good idea. Tell Kenny Stills, look, man, you performed. Make sure my cast is closed. Rap critics
save money cash. From the hood. What'd you say, John? I can't hear a word you're saying, man. What?
I'm sorry. I was saying, I think the coach is right. He tells Kenny Stills, you perform, and we'll put the Taylor Swift on like you is.
Yeah, and then they're, what's that song? You need to calm down. She says that song, you need to calm down. That's the name of the song, and she keeps saying that. You need to calm down.
No, I don't know. Look, we really stretched me out there by having knowing her fucking name and using it in proper context, okay? You need to calm down.
You're being too loud. That's great. You need to calm, but it's just funny. They're all, you know, Kenny Stills all upset. Now Taylor's going, you need to calm down.
You know, I'd have to listen to her song to get this joke.
That's just it. That's the name of the song, and that's the line she says over and over. That's the only thing that matters here. You need to calm down. This is what they're going to play to them. You need to calm down.
You're being too loud. Anyway. I'm picturing you saying that with her eyes.
All right. Anyway, let's not get off topic here.
It's going to get us off topic.
We've never been anywhere near the topic. All right. So they trade Stills. Now they trade
right.
him. And everybody knows this. Him and left tackle Tunstall to the Texans. And thank God, because I think without Tunstall, Deshaun Watson may not be alive today, because he was about the only thing on that line that was protecting Watson against the Saints.
He played a good game, I thought, for being there only, a couple of days.
Well, he's left tackle. His job, don't let this guy get to my quarterback. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, still. I mean, you got to learn the playbook.
I don't think
playbook.
There's a second T in his name. And isn't it Tunstall?
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 Yeah, LT Tunstall.
TST Tunstall? I thought it was Tunstall.
Oh, maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. I think it's fun, though, if we go Tunstall, 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 Tunstall.
And then you had Kenny Stills catching what we thought was the winning touchdown. Amazing game. Amazing.
Right.
I mean, two plays. Bam, bam. Deshaun Watson goes, there you go. I won. That's right. And holy
Dude,
crap.
I was shocked he was even in the starting lineup. I mean, as a slot guy, he had plenty of touches for a guy that's just got there.
Oh, I know,
I was pretty
man.
Surprised.
Dude, they're on offense, they're loaded.
They are. He stepped right on in and performed. They all did, man. Jesus Christ. Deshaun Watson busted his back and then came in and threw it. Oh, my God.
And that includes Carlos Hyde.
I know. Carlos Hyde fucking with my freaking Duke Johnson pickup.
I told you.
Well, I knew you told me, but at the time, there wasn't any Carlos Hyde, I didn't think, on our draft board.
Well, no, because you're right. We drafted that Sunday, and the next day, they traded Hyde to the Texans, and I immediately picked him up. And then also, Buffalo traded, they released Shady McCoy.
Yeah, I know.
They released him.
That was a surprise, and he was productive the other day.
All of a sudden, he's in Kansas City stealing shit from Damian Williams, and that's pissing off those owners. And then, I grabbed Devin Singletary because I was actually, after I thought about it, I'm like, wow, he didn't get drafted.
And, really? I thought I heard his name called in our draft.
No, I picked him and Hyde up at the
I thought you picked him.
No, I did not.
Okay.
So, yeah, that was great, man.
Okay. I'm pretty I know we're all off topic on this and people don't care about our fantasy teams, but I'm real pleased with my team, even though I got Duke Johnson sitting there. He gave him plenty of touches the other day. And I think that in Houston, if you have to, and like I'm in a situation where I have to start Duke Johnson, I got a better than even chance of him getting into the end zone because they spread it around.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And Mirthless with the interception of Drew Brees there at the 3-yard line.
Every time I heard his name, I could hear that.
Whitney Mirthless.
James Lofton from last year. Whitney Mirthless with the interception.
Whitney Mirthless.
All right, so, hey, back on the Dolphins, a report came out on Sunday after that 59-10, blowout by the Ravens that it's a Brexit.
Many Dolphins are saying, Tom.
It's a Brexit, John. Many Dolphins players came out of this with a clear message to their agents. Get me out of here.
Nobody could understand them until they brought the Navy in to use their computers to try to fucking translate Dolphinese.
Brian Flores said he can't confirm those reports. That's what he said. I can't confirm those reports. What, did you hear anybody say anything? No, I don't care about that report. You can hear them in the locker room. But they're calling it Tank for Tua.
Oh, look, I know everybody that's listening to this show, for the most part, is not so stupid as to follow this. But we all see them, and this is another example you can show them. They're tanking for Tua. In football, if you tank, everybody's leaving. Everybody's leaving. Nobody wants to be a part of that. Nobody wants to be a part of it. And nobody wants to come in and be a part of it after you think you're done tanking so you can get what you want. Because you've shown them, you've demonstrated the ability of these players that have a 5-year career window that you're going to fucking lose on purpose and wreck 2 years of their career just because. You can maybe build something for when they're gone. They're not going to do it.
Yeah, well, that's why they traded for everything they could get, picks and stuff, and Flores, he's not going to survive this. They're going to let him go through this crap season, and then at the end of the season, they're going to fire him. They're going to cut ties with anybody who's not a company guy, and then they're going to go get themselves a good coach and have a bunch of draft picks and say, here we go, let's build a football team. That's exactly what's going on there.
It's Miami. It's how we do things in Havana. It's a junta, Tom. It's a junta. We kill everybody in sight and we put our person in charge. I can't remember what the fuck I was going to say. That jumped right in my head and made me fucking all that. Tunsil. All right. Didn't they just draft him like 2 years ago, the first round pick?
Dude, I can't even believe they traded. I don't know why they traded him. I don't know if it's because his contract was coming up or what. I don't know.
Well, they got a nice haul. I mean, there's no doubt about it. They got a nice haul. But frankly, what you've done is you've gone ahead and taken one of your first round picks from 2 or 3 years ago, and now you got to use another one on the same position.
Well, that's just it. Oops. I mean, I don't know if he was being a problem or what the deal was, because to me,
I don't think so.
It reminded me of the Bengals letting theirs just run off to the Rams. Same thing.
Well, he was the one right before the draft that video came out of with the gas mask pot bong on it. With the bong gas mask he was wearing, smoking dope.
Yes.
Maybe that was it. Maybe he was down in Miami getting that fine Jamaican.
I don't know.
They figured he was going to get caught.
Something I forgot to play. We always love these. We talked about the Saints and the Texans game and how that ended. My God, what happened in 50 seconds was unbelievable.
Oh. The whole game was amazing, and it was back and forth, and it wasn't like it was exciting back and forth. Oh, shootout, shootout, shootout. The defense is clamped down. They had Drew Brees, I thought, on the ropes for a while there.
They did, and Watson got sacked, what, 6 times?
Yep. Oh, he was getting beat up. And, after he already had hurt his back with that freaking flip into the end zone.
Well, okay, so obviously he's tough as nails. He's He can deal with it, but he's not going to survive if that's the way every game is. He's just not going to survive.
Week six, week seven.
Yeah, well, we can't have that. So, yeah, they need to fix that. I don't know if the Dolphins have any more offensive linemen they can send over, but they need to fix that. But anyway, what we love is when there is a crazy ending to a game, we love to compare the two radio networks of the teams.
Right.
You know, so right. Here we are. This would be how the winning 58-yard field goal by Will Lutz, given the Saints a, 30-28 win.
Yeah, and didn't he miss one earlier in the game?
He did.
It was long like that?
Yeah, he did, but he didn't miss this one.
Will Lutz, spot and holder down. The kick is up. It's good! It's good! 58 yards, Will Lutz with the game winner! Saints win it! 30-28.
Here we go.
Too much excitement for the first game of the season, though. I don't want this much excitement.
Yo, man, I've been eating a lot of red beans and rice. I'm going to have a heart attack. This stuff keeps up.
That's Saints radio there. And, you know, hey, I love the excitement. I thought it was fantastic. But I get it, because if that's the Cowboys and they're playing, you know, whoever, and it comes down to the end, man, I tell you what, man. Hey, I don't know how good that is for your heart sometimes.
If they had lost after that ticky-tack, probably not even a call that could have been made roughing the kicker that they made that gave the Texans another chance.
Yes.
The official, oh, God, the conspiracy theories that would have been flying, the people would have been screaming, they'd have been having lawsuits, that whole city would have been burned down.
My favorite part of that was right after Fairbairn. Right after he got knocked down, the funniest part was the holder holding his hands up in the air and looking at the ref like, hey, man, what was that? The ref throws the flag and the holder stands up and like does a fist pump and then just walks off to his team and leaves him. leaves Fairbairn laying on the ground. That was the best.
Hey, medic, this guy over here is bleeding.
Let's go party.
That's pretty funny. You know, he did sell it, so I don't know what the hell they were looking at when they threw that flag, but I thought it would have been funny if the Saints fans would have got fucked again by the refs.
All right, well, now let's hear it on Texans Radio Network.
Morstead will hold. Snap is down. The kick is up, and he's got it. And the Texans lose at the buzzer to the New Orleans Saints.
I will never understand that defensive call.
An absolute.
Immediately, we're going to start questioning the calls by the coach right off the bat. I will never understand that call.
Well, you know, I got to give them credit down in Houston. At least they start to question the call. Because here in Washington, the first thing that comes out of any of their mouths, if the other team gets a first down, God damn it, fire that coach and fire him and fire that guy, fire him.
The New Orleans Saints.
I will never understand that defensive call.
An absolute crusher.
On third down.
30-28. The Saints celebrate. The Texans cannot believe it.
That's a way different call, John. Sounds way different.
It sure does. And yeah, I get it. It's deflating. There was a video I found when I was searching out for Goofy fans, which I couldn't find much of this week, of a little girl crying her eyes out. I didn't want to put her on the show because I'm tired of crying kids. She wasn't a funny crying kid. She was a pathetic crying kid.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah. And I should say something about what I said prior to that, but I can't remember what it was, so fuck all of you people that are going to give me a bunch of shit for something I said 2 minutes ago, because I know you are, and I can't remember what it was. And we're off to a great start this season, Tom.
Jesus.
Hey, you know what? Speaking of the Dolphins, which we were a few minutes ago, Tillyard told us that Crego, remember Crego, the Dolphins fan from the UK?
Oh, yeah.
He flew to Miami to go to that game the other day.
Oh,
he got
my
to watch
them God.
Get the shit kicked out of him.
Bang, average.
And I didn't see the video. I missed it.
I'm going to apologize for all this bunged upness.
I'm sure it's not going to get much better for them.
Well, and it's going to continue for the Ravens, I think, because they get to host the Cardinals this week.
Dude, Kyler Murray is the goofiest looking dude. He's got a gigantic head and a little tiny face.
Yeah.
He looks like a fish from SpongeBob SquarePants. The big square-headed fish from SpongeBob SquarePants.
All right. Antonio Brown. This saga really never ended since camp started.
It's since last year.
Yeah, but it never ended. It all came to a head last week when Antonio posted that letter from general manager Mike Mayock of the Raiders and said, for about all the fines he got for missing practice.
Right.
He put it all on social media. And Pro Football Talk learned via a league source, John.
A league source for Mike Florio.
Yes, that Mike Mayock told Antonio Brown that the team preferred to keep such matters private. I would think that's a reasonable request. He might be contractually obligated to keep that stuff quiet, private.
It's conduct detrimental to the team. And yeah, that is in-house stuff.
Yeah, and then Brown started yelling insults at Mayock.
He called him an expletive, Tom. He called him a racial slur.
He did. He called him this is according to a league source, says Pro Football Talk, that Mike Mayock called him a cracker.
Oh, you said cracker.
I did. I said it wrong, though. I said Mike Mayock called him that. Actually, I meant to say Antonio Brown called him a cracker.
Well, you know, the fact of the matter was Mike Mayock was standing there with a whip and he was smacking some defensive tackle
that
freaking jumped off sides in practice, you know. I'm on AB's side on that one. Mike Mayock is a cracker.
Yeah, I'd say I agree with that. Mayock walked away because he didn't want it to escalate and then discussed a suspension.
I was going to whoop his ass, he says.
He discussed a suspension.
Somebody hold me back, says Mike Mayock. Hey, wait, let me back away before I whip this guy's ass.
Oh, hold me back. That's funny.
I like that Antonio Brown did take the ball from him and punt it down the field. Fine me for that. He should have smacked his books out of it, smacked his clipboard out of his hands or something.
Right.
Grow a beard, motherfucker. What the hell is that?
So here comes O.J. Simpson to the rescue, John.
Dude, you know, if anybody can cut his way out of a jam, it's O.J. Simpson.
All right. So O.J. drafted Antonio Brown on his fantasy team, and he was really upset that all this stuff was happening with Antonio and that now they were talking about suspending him.
Hey, Twitter world, it's me, yours truly. I'm actually wearing these glasses today. It's overcast. I don't need them, but I've been in tears. What's going on? Antonio Brown, what's happening? What's going on with my fantasy team? I drafted Andrew Luck, and 20 minutes later, he retired. I drafted you, Antonio, because I admire your game. I'm sure there's hundreds of thousands of Americans who play fantasy drafted you. We're all counting on you. Enough, buddy.
Oh my God.
Knew that you were going to get fined. Every guy that holds out get fined. And you also know that communications in the locker room stays in the locker room. So I got to tell you, some golfing buddies of mine and a couple of my teammates, we knew something was not good was going to come out of you posting that thing. The only people you're making happy right now are the Pittsburgh Steelers.
And they're not very happy.
Look, man, play ball. Cash them big-ass checks that you're getting and move on, man. Stop with all of this drama. On another subject, Melvin Gordon, hey, they're not going to pay you.
Oh, shit. That's fucking good, right? That was worth right there. That was the whole thing. I'll tell you what, OJ's got to be a fucking weekly staple for that.
Oh, dude, he can't stay off Twitter. His followers are growing like mad.
He's going to get one more as soon as we're done recording this show. I'll tell you that. Yeah, AB, wait till you're done retired to go doing your shenanigans. You got a whole life ahead of you. After I had a successful movie career, that's when I did my wife killing, and look, now I'm having a ball out on the golf course tweeting about your shitty, stupid decisions. Oh, hey, is that the killer over there?
Well, O.J. Simpson must have convinced Antonio Brown because then he did this.
I'm excited to be out here today. I want to apologize to my teammates, organization. Enough talk, man. I'm excited to be out here with my teammates and grateful for all the fans And I'm excited to be a part of Raiders and see you guys soon.
He apologized.
You better apologize to OJ.
Well,
those other dudes just pay him. OJ will fucking come cut his throat.
Well, then he did that, though, and then everything was just, what's his, all hunky-dory, John.
Hunky-dory. Hunky-dory.
Hunky-dory.
I don't know what the fuck that means.
It's all good. All fine and dandy. Fine and dandy.
Well, hunky-dory. I understand what it means.
Hunky-dory.
It's fine and dandy.
Hunky-dory means fine and dandy, which I remember the late, great George Carlin saying, have you ever really been fine and dandy at the same time? He said, I once was in 1982 in whatever state it was. He goes, that was the one time I was both fine and dandy.
We sound like a Bart Pisterna broadcast.
Right?
Everything's dandy. Everything's fine and dandy.
Extreme dandy.
Extra dandy.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold's extra dandy.
All right. So Antonio was supposed to play Monday night. John Gruden was happy. Raider Nation was happy. Everybody was thrilled. And then Saturday morning, due to a clause, right, you know, that he violated in his contract, which I'm assuming was posting that information on social media.
Well, yeah, definitely. And then airing John Gruden's phone conversation.
Well, yeah, that's another one. But all of that stuff. AB was informed by Mike Mayock that his $30 million was no longer guaranteed and that he was basically playing on a week-to-week contract. And, of course, that did it. AB blew up. He went on social media, you know, hashtag, you know, release me, hashtag Raiders, you know.
Fuck Mayock, hashtag fuck
yeah,
off.
Yeah, right. And, of course, if they release him now, he's a free agent. He can go sign with anybody he wants. So the Raiders did just that.
It was his plan all along, Tom.
Okay. All right.
I do.
All right, we'll get to that. Makes no sense to me, but we'll get to that. And here's Antonio Brown. He's at home when he hears it on the news. This is how he finds out. He hears it on the news. Okay, so I'm sorry, but I'm going to point the finger at Mike Mayock and say, how unprofessional are you? How does a guy find out he's fired on the fucking news? That's not right.
That's the way it is these days anymore. The news gets shit before anybody does.
There were lists of five teams that were like the top destinations for him that started coming out from everywhere.
Oh, God. And the Redskins were right on the list. Can you believe that?
Yes. Here's my favorite list was five teams. First off, Cowboys. Like, they had the money. That's hilarious. Cowboys.
Well, no. Yeah, no shit.
Cowboys, Chiefs, Bears, Redskins, and Tom Brady. That was the fifth team.
Tom Brady.
It said, right, it didn't say Patriots, it said Tom Brady. And what was funny was all those talking heads on TV were telling me, there's no way he's going to get $15 million this year. That's off the table. He has completely screwed himself financially. And then within an hour, Reggie Bush, I don't know if you saw Reggie Bush's tweet, but he said, if the Patriots sign AB, the whole league is rigged.
Well, see, I don't know about the whole league being rigged, but I guarantee you there has been times with free agents and all of this kind of stuff here that they have definitely done some shenanigans behind the scenes. And I think that when it started in Pittsburgh, I think his whole freaking play the whole damn time was to get released. And no matter what he did in Oakland, he couldn't get himself released till he just finally said, you know what, fuck you, cracker, give me a ball, punt. I'm going to get released, and finally got himself released. And I guarantee you there was some discussions behind the scenes with Drew Rosenhaus, who we know is a squeaky, clean, perfectly good individual. But, you know, that said, okay, as soon as this happens, just give us a call and we'll sign a contract.
Well, I don't understand. Then why did he sign with them?
He didn't sign with the Raiders. He might have signed that big, giant extension, but he got traded.
But why did he sign that contract?
I don't know, man. If somebody offers you $30 million, you know, maybe it looks like, wow. If they offer you that kind of money, you might just sign it. Dude, this is a guy that thought that a fish head in his freezer meant the mob was coming to kill him.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Then Tom Brady signed him. $15 million.
That lasted a couple of days, didn't it?
Oh, my God. Unbelievable.
The worm turns again.
Now, here was something. I didn't know this. This blew me away. Jerry Rice was on 95.7 The Game in San Francisco. He said he got duped by Antonio Brown because Antonio Brown called him about going to the 49ers. This was crazy.
Talking about running the hill, Antonio Brown's gone. Tell me kind of your thought process of what went wrong, what happened, and now his new home.
Hey, Lo, we all got played, man.
We did. And, you know, I'm gonna be honest with you, because this guy, you know, he contacted me and he told me that he wanted to, you know, play ball here in the Bay Area. He wanted to be part of the San Francisco 49ers. So I bought into it, you know, because I can only take a man at his word and stuff like that. But I think this, it was pretty much already planned. He had to take a different direction. First of all, I think when he asked to be released from the Steelers, he wanted to go to the Patriots. He wanted them to trade him to the Patriots. And yeah, it was no way that the Steelers would trade him to a rival. So he had to go a different route, and he decided to come through the Bay Area.
Man, he called Jerry Rice. He mm-hmm. called the greatest.
Right.
He called the GOAT and gave him that spiel. I don't know. Maybe he did want to play for the Niners. I don't know, but why? But what can Jerry do about it? Was he trying to get Jerry to trade for him?
Who knows? Maybe Aaron, seriously, I mean, what Antonio could have been sitting around with his friends doing whatever the fuck he was doing that makes him think that fish heads in his freezer are death threats. And he said, yo, look, man, I got Jerry Rice's phone number. Watch this. And called him up. Yeah, I'd like to play in, you know, whatever's in the bay over there. You know what? Alcatraz, they got a team. I'll play for them. And Jerry Rice went on to say, I really don't think that $50 I gave him so his mother could get that operation, I don't think I'm going to see that again.
So what you're telling me is what we've got here is another situation, another T.O. going to get traded here, but really wants to play for the Eagles and does everything to get this, make this happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, what do they have in common? Drew Rosenhaus.
Well, here's the thing.
The architect of it all.
Yeah, and Drew's got a lot of big players on teams all over the league, and he works with these teams all the time, so it's not like they hate
him. He was Tom Cruise in the movie.
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
Yeah, so yeah. I know a lot of young kids might not realize.
Well, you don't want to hear about your scheme. Don't be accusing him, John. That's what he had to say.
We had no idea whether the Patriots would be interested. And in fact, I didn't have any communication with the Patriots until well after he had been officially released after 4 o'clock. So there was definitely not any scheme to get him to New England or any other team.
We had no idea they'd even be interested, Tom. I mean, Antonio, who even knows his name? Jesus Christ. It's not like the Patriots don't have a habit of picking up guys that are Hall of Famers to be off the junk heap after other teams can't deal with them.
Oh. Jesus. Speaking of which, Josh Gordon had a great game the other day.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Drew Rosenhaus, you're a Lions sack of shit. That's right. I said it.
Oh, come on, John. This is all clean. It was all done by the book. It was all within the rules. Oh, and Adam Schefter reports the New England Patriots added an option year for Antonio Brown in 2020 at $20 million, which is guaranteed if it's executed. So, but I don't really think he was trying to get to New England.
Well, did they add a clause in that says all of this is void if you're convicted of sexual assault? Jesus Christ.
Oh, man.
Hey, you know the funniest thing I saw today? I saw a headline on NFL.com, in fact. Belichick addresses Antonio Brown allegations. So, of course, I click it. You know what Belichick said? We released a statement. I'm not going to add anything to that.
Did he really?
That was what NFL.com had. I'm reading it, and that's what it gets down to. This is what he eventually said about it. We released a statement. We don't have anything else to add until we see what happens. God damn it. I clicked on this. This is it, damn it.
Have you had a chance to meet with Josh Gordon this morning?
I meet with the players every day.
So, yeah.
Are you being good spirits and excited about his opportunity?
Yeah, I mean, I'll release a statement on that. I have nothing to add to it. That's where we're at.
Did he come in, you know, or how would you describe it? Did he come in good shape, or are you pleased with how he maintains?
Yeah, I think I've already covered all that.
Why is it Bill Belichick is the only one we play that's got the damn, sounds like a 1981 typewriter in the background?
I know. Well, he probably is. He's probably Bart Pasterna back there. That's an old reference for people that don't listen. So you got to go back and listen.
Okay, so here's something we need to do. We need to call Al Davis. Oh, okay. Wait,
yeah,
real quick. Hold on, real quick. They did ask, they did bring up bring it up to Ben Roethlisberger. Antonio Brown's now a Patriot. This is how he responded.
Ben, your thoughts on Antonio Brown joining these guys now?
Whatever,
John. Whatever.
Whatever. I don't care.
And that's good. He should answer that. They kicked the shit out of him the other night, but you know what? He should answer that. We'll get to him later.
All right, let's call Al. I want to call Al Davis about this whole mess, see what he thinks about how everything went down. Let's get him on the phone.
Dialing heaven.
Is that where he's at right now?
Hello?
Al Davis, John and Tom from the Bang Radio Hour.
Well, hello, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good. We haven't talked to you for a while.
I imagine it's the day. It's always day up here. You can't close the shades enough to get it dark enough to sleep.
Did you get to watch the opening weekend of the NFL and watch the Raiders beat the Broncos?
You know, I got to tell you something, Tom. Being dead, you don't get very many erections. But beating the Broncos is damn good for the soul, let me tell you.
Well, good. I'm glad you got to enjoy that. All right. We were calling because, you know, we thought Antonio Brown was going to be on the team. The whole drama all unfolded, and now he's a Patriot, and we just wanted to get your thoughts on that whole AB mess.
I got to tell you, the time we talked about this before, the Raiders have always been a home and a haven for the cast-offs of the NFL.
Right.
He's just a free spirit, Tom. But he's too much of a free spirit for us, so obviously the Raiders fired him. We fired him for cause and for time, of course. And we took back our money because Pete Rozelle is a fucking crook.
Pete Rozelle.
And him and that two-faced nitwit Lane Kiffin cooked up this whole thing to try to embarrass my son.
Really?
And my lawyers are going to be contacting them shortly.
Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin down there coaching at Florida Atlantic is behind all this?
He's a son of a bitch, Tom. He's never gotten over his firing that was perfectly reasonable. And him and that the ghost of Pete Rozelle are continuing to try to screw and wreck my Raiders. And I'm telling you something right now, as I was saying, fuck Pete Rozelle. May he rot forever.
Okay, Al. All right, well, good.
We have no need for Antonio Brown, Tom. We have the great Tyrell Williams.
Yes.
Somebody get me a press kit on this kid. We got that rookie kid from the TV show, and we beat the crap out of the Broncos. So fuck you, Bolin.
All right, well. Good luck against the Bears this week, Al. Take care.
Bye.
John, I think he's the only one who hasn't gotten over this whole mess. I mean, Lane Kiffin, really? We're still back on Lane Kiffin?
Nobody held a grudge like Al Davis holds a grudge.
Oh, my God. All right.
From beyond the grave.
Okay, so hindsight can be so much fun sometimes.
Of course it is. It's the best thing ever. It makes you sound like a fucking genius.
Well, I don't have to sound like anything. I don't have to say anything. All I'd have to do is play this clip because now, you know, everybody knows everything that happened with Antonio Brown between, right. You know, the
well,
frost.
Well, sort of. We're going to find out more.
Between the frostbitten feet and the, you know, and the helmet and then, you know, the cracker and then the guaranteed being taken and then he's gone and then that quickly, it just so how fast the Patriots got that done, which does lend some credence, you know, to maybe the fix was in, like you said, but whatever. The best part about this is that before any of this happened, right?
Yeah.
Mike Mayock talked about what he was trying to make his Raiders team into, and this is what he said.
The goal is to win every football game, and obviously you look at what New England's done, and I played for Coach Belichick, and I've always had the utmost amount of respect, and I think when you do it the way they have over his 18 years, it's almost mind-boggling.
Right.
And that's kind of the model out there, and nobody else has been able to do it for that level of time. So I have a lot of respect for them.
I got this Mayock kid right in my hip pocket.
That's unbelievable to me.
I got him right where I want him. Yeah, why don't you go ahead and trade for Antonio there because they won't trade him to me. So go ahead and trade it. You trade for him.
You can't write this. You cannot write this shit.
Oh, the best part, like I said, the best part is this bit with this woman from LSU that's come out. And I mean, granted, if it's true, I'm not saying fuck all. You know, I'm not even going to go down this fucking road. All you goddamn social justice warriors that don't know what I'm talking about, shut up.
Okay, so, look, we don't need to make
this
a joke.
This is the fun part.
You don't need to make a joke about what he's been accused of doing. That's kind of doesn't matter. What matters is he guilty or not?
Right. I'm just saying this is the juiciest part. It's like, holy shit, what can come next?
You know, this was also
find out that he's a despotic dictator somewhere.
This was a trainer. This was somebody who worked for him.
Was a personal trainer.
I heard girlfriend as well. And you know, this all has happened. And I haven't got all the details. I don't know. Do we know when it was? How much? I heard the number. How long ago did it happen? Did she said it happened?
I'm not 100% sure. I didn't check all the details. But by the time we get the show out here, there's going to be a lot more. I guarantee you.
Well, no, I mean, I thought it was like a couple years ago. She said it happened.
I don't know.
Did she call the cops? I don't know these things. So
she didn't. It has been a while. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't know what she's trying to accomplish then by doing this because. Unless she's got some proof she's been hiding for 2 years, she's never going to.
She's got some text messages, but we'll see.
Oh, and she's been sitting on them for 2 years?
I guess. Who knows? You know what? People do weird things, man. They think, especially when it comes to guys with money.
Yeah.
We all know that. So we'll see what happens. It might be true. It might not be true. Because we all know guys with money do weird things.
If she's got proof, then she's got proof. And whether the cops can do anything or not, Roger Goodell will.
Maybe or not. You know what? This, you know what? You know what's funny to me too is that Tyreek Hill, cop said nothing happened. Goodell said nothing happened. You think the fans give a shit? Fuck no. He's an asshole. Should be suspended forever. It's like, dude, everybody looked at it and said it was an accident. And I'm probably going to get excoriated for defending him right there.
People will argue or defend players based on what they want to happen, which all comes back to how it does or does not benefit their football team.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what it all comes back to every time.
That's why I'm happier than shit about this Antonio Brown saga.
Everybody out there up on your high horse all the time, sit the fuck down and just cheer for your team because that's exactly what you're doing. And you're going to argue for your team and whatever's best for your team, no matter what. Morals, no right. Morals, no matter what.
Act like a Colts fan. They're so fucking polite.
They are, damn it.
They are. They are so fucking
They're
polite.
They're great, man. I never have a problem when I go to a Colts game to see the Cowboys play. Anyway, we need to call Bob Kraft now. We got to get Bob on.
Yes, please. So let's get hurry him. Up before he gets to the bar.
Exactly.
He's still celebrating another Super Bowl, you know?
Hello?
Hey, Bob Kraft, John and Tom from the Bang Radio Hour.
Oh, are you the guy from Madam Ying's Chinese Laundry?
No, Bob. Bob is John and Tom from the Bang Radio Hour, the podcast. We've talked to you many times.
Well, I'm sorry. I thought you were somebody else. You know what? Tom. Those Chinese are something, boy. They deliver just about anything.
Yes, they will.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, what can I do for you?
We wanted to call and get your comments on how everything unfolded with Antonio Brown and him ending up a New England Patriot.
Oh yeah, and Antonio, he's something. I tell you what. Let me tell you. I got an email from Bill today that told me what I was supposed to say if anybody asked about it. Hang on, I got it right here.
What a memo? What?
Dear Bob. Oh, that's nice. I always like it when people say dear at the start of a letter.
Okay.
Dear Bob, if anybody asks you about it, Antonio Brown, don't say anything. But I already said anything. I said it a minute ago, I think I did. What did Antonio do?
Oh, well, he's been accused of, sexual assault.
Oh, jeez. I don't know. That's a shame. And I tell you what, I'm sure he really didn't mean it, you know? A nice fella like that. Oh, wait, there's the doorbell. Look, I gotta scoot. My Chinese prostitute is here.
Bob, don't you mean your laundry? Your laundry's there. Your laundry,
right.
Bob.
Oh, right. My shirts are here.
Yeah, right.
Bye.
Jesus. Wow. Dude never stops, does he?
No.
Well, there's the Antonio Brown saga.
Yeah, over. It's over. I don't know.
Tell you what, we got some scoops nobody else got.
Such as?
Bob Kraft gets his shirts delivered.
Yes. That's. Oh, God. Oh, let's see. I got some other fun things here. Oh, Deion Sanders. We, you know.
Okay.
Go back to Ben Roethlisberger for just a moment.
Okay.
Here's Deion talking about Ben.
I'm going to go on record to say I don't feel like Big Ben will finish this season.
Whoa.
I think mentally, physically, something's going to shut down, because what I saw today was a lackluster effort by the offense, by the defense, by the coaching staff, by everyone, and he seemed not engaged. There was no big playability, no running game, nothing ever got going offensively, and he seemed disinterested. And we've all heard the murmurs of Big Ben saying, I would like to retire. The way they played today, a couple more of those games, I think that would happen.
So he doesn't think he's going to get hurt. He thinks he's going to retire.
You know, Tom, that is crazy. He is absolutely crazy. Now, to be fair, I was thinking about an I Dream of Jeannie marathon that I saw was going to be on TV Land at the same time as the game, but it didn't mean that I couldn't DVR, you know.
Right.
So, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you, Ben Roethlisberger, winner of 2 Super Bowls?
Thank you very much for mentioning my 2 Super Bowls, for I am Ben Roethlisberger and I have won 2 Super Bowls. And fine, thank you. And yes, I felt I should address, because even though I am Ben Roethlisberger, winner of 2 Super Bowls, Deion Sanders is a Hall of Famer and also a winner of 2 Super Bowls. So we are equal. And since we are equal, he knows what I know, but he doesn't know what I don't know, and what he thinks he knows isn't what I think I know. So how does he know what I don't know when he doesn't know if he knows what I know, huh? I say, answer me, that is what I say.
John, was Deion not on the Ravens when they won in 2000?
I don't know. I think he was. I think he might have been. Let me double check. No, because the Redskins had him in 2000. He was there in like 2002, 2003.
Okay, yeah. I thought it was just after, because then he would have 3, but.
Yeah, no, he has 2.
Anyway, whatever. All right, now this is funny. This was really funny. The Browns, same as the old Browns. You know, they didn't.
Hello, Cleveland!
Right.
These poor fans.
Oh, my God.
Oh, they fell on their face.
Well, actually, I think that that everything's going to be fine. That, you know, because it really, you want to know what happened? 18 penalties happened. That's what happened.
Look, they're like a 15-year-old getting laid for the first time. Oh, God damn it. Oh.
That's it. That's perfect.
They'll be fine next week.
That's what the coach said. They'll work that out.
Freddie Kitchens will all have them all rub one out in the locker room before the game, and they'll be all right. Hey, let me ask you this. All right, ready this for you? I'm going to throw something in everybody's brain. You ever make biscuits? You know how you pop the can and all that dough comes popping out? All right, you know, you peel the can away and there it is, that blob of smooth white dough. Put a little Browns hat on that and tell me that isn't Freddie Kitchens. I'm telling you, he's popping Fresh's dickhead cousin.
I still think he looks like a coach.
I'm telling you, whoever the next person that makes biscuits, put a little hat on it and send it to us. It'll look just like Freddie Kitchens, I'm telling you.
All right, well, they talked to Jarvis Landry after the Titans-Browns game.
Some people are going to say some of this was because you guys
I don't care about what nobody says, so don't even ask me that question.
Could lack of playing time in the preseason have something to do with it?
Man, don't ask me no question like that.
Okay.
Are we done?
Don't ask me no question like that. And the guy goes, okay.
Okay, sorry, Mr. Landry.
Don't ask me no question like that. I will bless you.
Well, and it's a stupid question, and Landry knows it, and the guy asking the question is obviously too stupid to know, does lack of playing time in the preseason cause this? No. No, it does not. Give me a break.
You see a lot of sloppy play in the first part of the season now, because nobody plays in preseason anymore, and nobody even practices with any contact anymore.
I don't know about the as far as the contact goes, because when I'm watching coverage of training camp on NFL Network, I'm seeing a lot of contact. I know that's not going to
show
you.
They don't show you the rest of the day, which is just a walkthrough and
okay.
Sheldon Short.
Well, I don't think that has anything to do with 18 penalties, and I don't think. You know, I mean, I watched Dallas for years where Aikman would play one, maybe two series in the third preseason game, but usually it was one series in the other games, and that was it. The Rams didn't have 18 penalties. They didn't play a single starter the entire preseason. They didn't have 18 penalties.
That's true, but you can't just pick one and say that's not the outlier. Overall, I think that the general consider is that, it's sloppy right now.
To me, nothing is any different now than it was 10, 20 years ago as far as the preseason's concerned. It's okay. Still the same. The only difference is they dress it up and put it on TV and make people think this means something when it's still nothing but a glorified practice.
Well, I don't know. See, because there's a lot of teams that play no starters at all anymore, and that never was something that happened until probably the last 5 years or so, because there's a lot of teams that don't play any of them at all. They just bubble wrap them and leave them out. The Rams are one of them. The Eagles are one of them. You know, the Eagles, for the fact that they finally did end up whooping the Redskins' ass, they were sluggish coming out in the first half, man. The Redskins were taking it to them. But by the same side of the coin, or the other side of the coin, scary Terry McLaurin, Redskins' fucking hotshot wide receiver, played three snaps in the preseason.
There you go.
And he's a rookie. And he's a rookie. And I'm just bringing it up because it's the only thing I had to cheer for, because he toasted your fucking Eagles. And then, you know, y'all did what you did.
He got hundreds of snaps in practice and in scrimmages against, again, they scrimmaged the same teams for 2 days that they're playing in the preseason.
Not the Redskins, because the Redskins have a deal with the fucking city of Richmond that it's something to do with where they practice, that they can't, you have to split it up. You go to their place and you come to our place, but nobody else is allowed to practice there but the Redskins, so nobody can come here. It's fucking ridiculous how they have to deal with it.
You didn't go out and scrimmage anybody in any neutral places?
Nope. Ever? No, okay. We can't, because they can't leave there. They have all their practices have to be there, and they're the only ones that are allowed to be there.
That's stupid.
A fucked up deal that they're in with the city of Richmond. They've been trying to get out of it for a couple
okay.
of years. But this is getting to be too much serious football talk. The Redskins stink right now. They're the most dangerous 0-1 team in the NFL.
Yes, you said that.
Hey, Case Keenum. Most dangerous player in the NFL, Tom. He can use his hand and feet at the same time.
Okay, can we go back to the Browns-Titans, please?
Yes, we can.
Thank you.
Mariota back to pass. Throws it out in the right flat. It's wide open to Delanie Walker, and he'll go in around the pylon. Touchdown. Another touchdown for Delanie Walker.
That's the Browns radio network. Another touchdown for Delanie. You know, he's the same one you hear on the preseason games. And,
he's used to it.
Oh, my God. He didn't care for that one at all. But here's the best part. After the game. Okay, so the Browns have been hyped up the entire offseason, ever since they signed Odell, pretty much, you know, the way they ended last season. I mean, I was like on board. They're going to win the division and everything. And they still might, but... You know, you talked about you made the analogy to the 15-year-old having
right.
sex for
right,
the first
right. yeah,
time.
Yeah, they were overhyped up.
Yeah, and I think they heard all that. They might have heard
oh, really?
All of that and forgot that they had to go play a game, and that's pretty much what Delanie Walker's saying here.
This is just another game. We ain't worried about it. I'm going to tell you again, man. They were who we thought they were. Y'all can crown them if you want to crown them. You still got to play football.
You still got to play football. That's right.
That's right. You can make all the commercials you want there, Baker Mayfield, and you can wear your cool mustache. You can say all kinds of things in fucking Salon magazine or whatever it was. But, yeah, you got to go out and play. They'll settle down, I think. But I think that the talk about them winning the division, the Ravens just said, excuse us. We got something to say about this.
The Bears are what we thought they were. They're what we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like it's bullshit? We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown them. But they are who we thought they were. And we
let
them
off the hook. Classic. Classic.
Yeah, and he told you right there. They played them for three quarters in the third game of the preseason.
That's stupid.
Different era.
Yeah, and he doesn't have a job anymore, does he?
Well, he's dead.
Oh, that's right. Well, he didn't have a job before he was dead. Come on now.
I think that disqualifies you from a. Do we have to have Rooney's dead? Do we have to have a Rooney rule that says you have to interview a dead guy?
Call I don't know,
Betty
but
Green again.
I'm probably never going to end up on this list now after that. All right,
which
John.
List is that?
These right, are salaries of your favorite sports TV analysts.
Oh, this is going to make me sick, isn't it?
Oh, some of them are going to. Yes, you'll be like, what? Yeah, I better get I better get all those ready.
What?
Right. Okay. All the what's. All right, this one is the lowest one on the list that I have at $100,000, and this one you'll be like, yeah, I understand that, but you'll probably think that's still too much. Jemele Hill.
Yeah, well, yeah, sure. I tell you what, she's got $100,000 rather low for her, I'd say. She's got a lot of people follow her.
I know. Red Zone host Scott Hansen. You know who I'm talking about?
He does pretty well. Yeah, I do. That's a hard job, what he does.
$200,000.
It's about worth it for one day's work. Actually, he does a lot more one day's work. That's a hard job of what he does. But God damn it, if it isn't the best job in the fucking country. Oh.
Sports Center host Sage Steele. You know who she is, right?
I do know who Sage Steele is. She started here in Washington. What's she making?
$400,000.
Good for her.
Right behind Jimmy Johnson. Fox NFL analyst Jimmy Johnson making $600,000 a year.
So why does he have to? Why does he have to fill that income in with, you know, freaking big dick pills? Why does he have to be hawking the extends?
He probably makes as much off that endorsement as he does off of Fox.
Yeah, I think he had tax problems. He had to fucking make some quick cash.
Yeah, let's do these big dick pills. Fuck it.
He probably had stock in the company.
Fox Sports host Carissa Thompson, $700,000 a year.
Okay.
All right. Now we're going to get into the $1 million club.
You know, we haven't even mentioned Kurt Menefee yet. That's bothersome.
Because now you know he's making over $1 million? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes.
All right. ESPN analyst Max Kellerman, $1 million.
Oh, my God. I mean, I get that that show is... is it popular? Do people watch that show?
I don't know. I think he does more than that show.
Yeah, but do people watch it? It's on at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and the people that are on it, every time I turn it on, I get sick and tired of those yapping heads every time.
Wait, which show are you talking about?
Kellerman. Doesn't he run that Around the Horn or whatever it is?
Who did you say?
Max Kellerman.
Yeah, well, he's the one that argues with Stephen A. Smith on First Take.
No, oh, I thought, okay, so he's on. He's doing that, too. I'm sorry. I know he does that Around the Horn. Doesn't he do that, too?
I thought that was... Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he does. That might be his other job. He might have two jobs.
Okay, that was his primary job, because when Tony Kornheiser left that show, that's when he took over. He used to be the guy that did the fact-checking, if I recall. And I have way too much knowledge of dickheads on ESPN that make too much money.
Well, you and I both, we always have good things to say about Adam Schefter.
Yes, Adam Schefter is always right.
Yep, and his was $1 million. He should be making more than most of the people I'm going to read on this list who make more than he does.
He should be making more than Max Kellerman, that's for damn sure.
Terry Bradshaw, $1 million.
Okay.
ESPN's
that's
Rachel...
That's kind of low for Terry Bradshaw.
Rachel Nichols, the redhead, $1.5 million.
Okay. Good for her.
Hannah Storm, $1.5 million.
She makes that because she's got a porn star's name.
Making $3 million, John...
Oh, God, don't tell me it's Kurt Menefee.
Fox is Kurt Menefee.
Oh, my God. Kurt Menefee.
Hi, I am the most harmless and unfrightening black person in America, so you can sell me to anyone. However, I make $3 million, and all I can wear is one blue fucking suit with brown shoes.
Look out there, people. I don't mean to derail it, but Jesus Christ, when you go to some place where people have to dress, Tom, and fucking 9 out of 10 of them are wearing the same blue suit with brown shoes, fucking hey, people! That's all I got to say about that. Major wow factor, not.
Also making $3 million, Susie Colbert and Linda Cohn.
Susie Colbert deserves it. I always touch myself when she's on television.
Making $4 million a year with the smallest head in sports broadcasting.
Stephen Van Pelt.
Scott Van Pelt, yes.
Scott Van Pelt. Stephen yes. Van Pelt. So it's late in the show. I've had a few. So, But I like Scott Van Pelt, I do.
He makes $4 million along with Howie Long.
I'm sorry. I don't really watch Fox because I've watched enough of those guys to know their shtick. Howie Long, I guess out of the group, he's about the one that tries to be the most serious, or is the most serious. The one I can take the most seriously. How about that?
Yeah. Now I got two guys here making $5 million a year.
All right, let's see. One of them's got to be Rich Eisen.
No, Chris Berman.
He's still doing it? Who's he doing it with? Where's he doing it?
Well, he's on ESPN.
Well, I know, but what's he do?
Why, doesn't he still do baseball and stuff?
If he does, it's the only home. He didn't even do the home run derby this year, did he?
I don't know. He could be their sports director. I don't know.
It's the ghost of Berman hanging around. You're going to pay me, you hear?
I pretty much only watch NFL Network, it seems like, anymore.
Yeah, I can't deal with ESPN. I tell you what, I went on there to watch the beginning for Monday Night Football. And, hey, you got mossed! You got mossed! Okay, well, that's great, Randy, but out of five plays, three of them are fucking 12-year-olds. Can we show some football, please? I don't care if a 12-year-old jumps up and beats on another 12-year-old.
Mike Golick is the other one making $5
million. What? Oh, my God!
What?
Play every what we have.
What?
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 So what? Just...
what?
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 Mike Golick, really? See, this has got to be one of those holdovers from a contract that he signed 10 years ago, some gigantic deal. Mike Golick?
But if you ever wonder, are these guys getting the same amount of money? Mike Wilbon and Tony Kornheiser each get $6 million a year.
They probably sell good advertising on that show, they do, because people do watch that. And those are known, they've got their shit together.
You know who else makes $6 million a year?
Who?
Skip Bayless.
Of course he does.
I know what? The National what? Football what? League.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I see.
All you got to do is be loud these days, man. He's been doing it for a long time, but you just have to be loud and say dumb shit, and man, they'll pay you millions.
Are you kidding me?
Hey, he wanted to be an Indian. He was wanting to be an Indian brave.
That's right. And John, $6 million a year, also going to Colin Cowherd.
Oh, well, I knew that. You know, they put a lot of money into him for it. And they gave Skip a lot of money to move over to Fox Sports. So. But shit.
I think it's funny that Mike Golick makes $6 million, but Mike Greenberg makes $6.5 million.
And that show he's got is tanking like shit. They're just propping that thing up.
Mm.
I don't know.
Everybody ESPN, messed up. All the guys that were together that people like split up, and now everybody's like, "Eh, fuck you."
Tell you what, though, man, I do think they probably make plenty of money on all their freaking subsidiaries that they have out there. They're ESPN Radio. They're not, you know, no ESPN shows. They're local shows all day, but they're the sports radio for that town. But they're ESPN Radio, so they're paying them those fees.
Do you believe you can make $10 million a year for saying things like this?
Oh, put stop it.
Yes.
I can't believe it.
I can't either, Stephen A. I can't believe you make $10 million a year.
Oh, really?
Really?
You know what? People are going to hate. People hate him, but I have more power to him because people hate him. That dude's everywhere. Did you see last week? He showed up at some Cowboys fucking party in Dallas unannounced and started running his fucking mouth with a camera on him. Let me tell you all something. He makes himself into be the greatest villain that everybody likes to rag on and hate. But man, I'll tell you the truth, man. He tells the fucking truth.
He does.
He does. He tells the truth. I like Stephen A. Smith. He's bombastic as all hell. So yeah, right then and there, right? See, right there, they at ESPN, they went, well, John Taman likes him. So right. Let's give him the $10 million.
Now, John, I know that it probably hurts your heart that Colin Cowherd makes $6 million a year. I know you understand. I know you understand, but I still, it's got to like hurt your heart, but. That's nothing.
It hurts my heart more that people are that stupid.
Well, then this one's going to give you heart failure, and this will be the last show we do. So if you want to say goodbye now before I tell you that Jim Rome makes $30 million a year. Anyway, yeah.
Jesus Christ. I don't even know where he's on the radio anymore. I really don't. I mean, is AM radio making that much money?
Isn't he on Fox? Kind of is it not Fox? I thought it was Fox.
Fox? Is he on television still? I have no idea. I tune out at Jim Rome, and I know
The only if he's on anything, he's on AM small little stations, man. Who the fuck knows? Maybe he's just on a shitload of them.
Well, that's just it. He's syndicated.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So that just tells me that people's tastes are terrible. Look, everybody, if there's that many people in towns with radio stations paying for that show, write your congressman.
All right, let's get to email. We got to wrap up.
All right, let's see. First one I got is, hey, bang, this is Josh Wells. Hey, remember we had Josh Wells a couple of weeks ago? We were trying to figure out where he was.
Hey!
Thanks for the shout-out on the show last week. I'm still listening and always will. I just don't want to be on social media.
Ah, thanks, Josh.
Yeah, he subscribed to us on Patreon as well, which is great. Everybody go to the website and click the Patreon button. And, hey, man, subscribe to us for a dollar. That would be wonderful. Everybody give us a dollar a month. Then Tom and I can really feel like we're accomplishing something. I'm glad you started a Patreon account. So he says he's been doing improv and some sketch comedy for 2.5 years. He's trying to get into voice acting. He says he don't remember if he did anything for the show, but he put together a short bit. If I like it, consider playing it on the show. If not, then don't. Did we play it on the show? No, we did not. Oh,
dear. Are you sure?
No, we didn't play it on the show. As a matter of fact, it's only because I saw it today that we didn't have time, but I'll give it a listen.
Okay.
I appreciate all the years of laughs and will always gladly support you and Tom are the best. Thank you very much, Josh Wells. We love you. You're our best friend. Everybody else, take a lesson from Josh. Go over and hit that patron button, please. We really ought to consider getting the restraining order lifted on Josh there, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Dear podcast, it's a good thing most of us prefer soccer. Sincerely, the city of Miami.
That's great.
John and Tom, Gardner Minshew is the mustache that will lead the Jaguars to the Super Bowl.
Hey, man, he played awesome.
Yeah, he had a great game for, I guess.
He did.
But book it. He did. I know. He had great numbers, awesome numbers, and he looks fantastic.
I couldn't believe this guy. I'm like, what the hell? He's like, this is the only other quarterback on the Jags roster. And I'm like, Gardner Minshew? This is it? This is what you came into the season with, Nick Foles and Gardner Minshew? And then he goes out there and goes, what was he, like 22 out of 25 or almost 300 yards to a couple of times? I'm like, oh, my God, what is this?
Yeah. Yeah, he had a great game. He had a great game. And he's confident as hell, and he's funnier than hell, too. So we're going to probably get some good stuff out of him because Big Dick Nick's going to be out for a while.
Yeah, he reminds me of like Peyton. He's a practical joker. There was all kinds of pictures of funny shit he did at Washington State, and I think the players will rally around that for sure. Anyway, go ahead, continue.
Absolutely. All right, so this guy says, Gardner Minshew is the mustache that will lead the Jaguars to the Super Bowl. Book it. Nick Foles is history. No Big Dick. Minshew the mustache slams Budweiser's and Doggy Bang's porn stars 3 at a time on the hood of his Trans Am. Signed, Marty.
That's great. I love it. Oh, my God. I can't wait to watch him this week. They got to go play. Wait a minute. They're playing Houston this week. I can't wait.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be fun. And that's all I got this week.
All right. I do have one message here from Avery. I assume he's a Dolphins fan because he wants us to call the Dolphins general manager and ask him what the hell's going on. So let's see. Okay.
All right.
You know, we got this phone book. It's got everybody in it, but it doesn't list the GM for the Dolphins. All it says is, under Miami Dolphins, it says MM Consulting.
All right. Well, I guess. I don't know. They're asking me to do some impression. Go
ahead. All right. Well, all right. It's got a number, but it's, I don't know what the Miami, it wouldn't be the Marlins. That'd be. Anyway, here, let's see.
Hello, MM Consultant, MM Football Consultant.
Oh, is this the Dolphins?
This is MM Football Consultant. This is Matt speaking. Can I help you?
What, Matt Millen?
That's right. That's right.
Matt, it's John and Tom from the Bang Radio Hour. What is this?
Oh, hey. Hey there, guys. What? Hey, I tell you what there. Hey, look, I got the experience, right? And I had the big heart surgery, and I'm old, so I figured it was time to hit South Florida, you know, take it easy. So I'm here down here, and I'm consulting with the Dolphins.
They hired, MM Consulting. They hired you. Oh, my God.
That's right. Hey, Tom, I tell you something. This is a snap. This is easy no matter what you do. No matter what, I'm just consulting. I'm the one that told them to trade that boy Tunsil. You know that? They called me up after I had a few Mai Tais, right? I'm sitting there on the beach. The coach was tired of arguing with that Kenny Stills punk, so I told him, hey, Tunsil said something about your mother. Next thing I know, both of them's in Houston. Oh, my God, Tom. I never laughed so goddamn hard in my life. It was the best prank ever. Well, except Charles Johnson's. Fuck you, Detroit.
And so now you're going to play the Patriots this week.
I ain't doing nothing. I tell you what, they called me up and said, can you give us some consulting on what to do with the Patriots? I said, hey, poison Tom Brady. That's about the best chance you got.
All right, Matt. We just wanted to find out what the heck happened with the Dolphins. That was ugly, 59-10, and I guess you got your work cut out for you.
Hey, ain't my problem. You know what I do with teams once I get into this position, right?
What?
If you're a wide receiver and you like to hang out on South Beach, come on down, baby. We got a party.
All right, Matt. Take care.
Bye.
All right. Time to hate you for a week until after Sunday.
That's right. You're going to pity me at about 1:15.
Oh, God, I hope so. Are we at 1 o'clock?
Right.
Is that a 1 o'clock game?
I think. Well, we're in Washington, yes. It should be 1 o'clock. I think so.
All right.
Maybe. I'd have to check.
See if I can sweep the weekend again with fantasy football victories and a Cowboys victory. And how about them Buckeyes? Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't even know who Penn State's got this week, but you saw the video of the Buffalo punter getting his leg broke, right?
Yeah.
The Penn State guy hit him in the leg.
Yeah. But I tell you what, I know it would have been bad for the Big Ten, man, but because they were so close to losing to Army, I was kind of waiting to laugh my ass off at Michigan. They pulled it out.
This I don't get about you. All right. Now, in postseason, yeah, I'm all about the Big Ten. But prior to that, F all the rest of you guys, man. Fuck all that. If Army beats on Michigan, I'm happier than shit.
Well, because if Michigan sucks and we beat them, then it doesn't mean anything when we beat them. And it's if we're on the bubble of getting in the playoffs, or if Penn State's on the bubble of getting in the playoffs, and all you did was beat teams that can't beat Army, you're not getting in.
I guess. But
if Ohio State had a better schedule last year, they would have made it in the playoffs. That had a tougher schedule.
This is what's wrong with NCAA football in one freaking sentence right there.
Well, yes. You're right.
That's it. By the way, I do have something that I do want to say. I'd like to change my Super Bowl pick, please.
What? You don't think the Colts are going to the Super Bowl now?
Well, I never thought they were going to the Super Bowl, but I did have them in the AFC Championship over the fucking it was the Chiefs and the Colts going.
Yeah.
And you know, then all of a sudden Luck retires like 2 hours after we hang up the freaking microphones. And then the Patriots sign Antonio Brown. Now you know the allegations against him right now might make that different. But yeah, I'd like to go ahead and change my Colts pick to the Patriots.
I completely understand that. And you know what? It may not matter if Antonio ever plays a down for the Patriots. I think they'd still win it. Did you see what they did?
Oh, I did. They crushed the Steelers because, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, he didn't care. He was thinking more about something he was going to watch on TV later. So, you know, he's thinking about retirement. And frankly, even though I'm changing my AFC Championship pick to include the Patriots, I still think the Chiefs are going.
Okay, that's fair. All right. Yeah. Well, good luck to everybody this weekend. And
yeah, good luck to everybody except Tom.
Right.
And you other Cowboys.
And everybody except John. And we'll do it again next time.
Later.
On another subject, Melvin Gordon, hey, they're not going to pay you. You need to calm down.
You're being too loud. You got something to say? Email bangradiohour@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter @bangradiohour and on the Bang Radio Hour Facebook page. Subscribe to the Bang Radio Hour YouTube channel for new Bang cartoons. And please consider becoming a patron of the show by going to bangradiohour.com and clicking the patron button. You can help us defer costs of bringing you this podcast and Bang cartoons for about the price of a cup of coffee. We appreciate your support.
And there's Eli with the interception to seal the loss. Very good, Eli.
You've been listening to the Bang Radio Hour.
Mein lieber Schwan hat der einen abgekriegt.
Listen to me.
Bang Radio.
Wait, don't.
I only can control what I can control. I mean, there's not much I can control. It's out of my control now.
We have reason to believe that control may have been infiltrated.
Oh, Troy, I'm so sorry.
Oh, my God!
Ain't a whole lot of that shit right there, yo.
You don't have to spend a lot of time kind of circumcising the mosquitoes.